is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Tyler. No Dell. He's still dead to us. Has anyone heard from Dell? Is he alive? Does anyone know?
Yes.
After Miami got killed, is he still alive?
Oh, I haven't talked. I put him in a text string with Eric Layden because Eric could tell him some stuff to do in Los Angeles when Dell was in L.A.
Like how to cope with your team sucking?
You're talking about Dell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure Eric has had to deal with that.
Eric has had USC as his team. Oh. So, yeah, it's been a problem for a while for him.
Yeah.
But, yeah, our friend Dell watched his Miami team lose to quite possibly one of the less likable quarterbacks that we've seen in college football for a while.
I mean, good Lord, he threw that interception late, and then he's yelling at everyone else on the field.
I don't know.
I mean, did you see that?
Yes.
I mean, could that have been it's after they take over
on the sidelines the whole time?
They stopped Miami, or they intercepted. They pick
right
them
away.
Up?
They give it right back,
and with about 4 minutes left, instead of running some clock, he throws one right into the on an out, and not even close, with three guys around the receiver, and it's picked off. And I'm like, this is the dumbest team in America.
Florida got the win against Miami, but it was just some dumb plays and some explosive plays, but some bad football at times. A ton of penalties, but it was an entertaining game. But yeah, while that one was going on, you had the Texans going on against the Cowboys, and boy, was that eventful in some negative ways. The Texans lost running back Lamar Miller for the season to an ACL tear. And a lot of times it's non-contact ACL tears, but that was one of those like direct shots on the knee type torn ligaments. And that's going to knock Lamar Miller out for the entire year. So, you know, we were just kicking around hypotheticals if there was any way that he could get cut based on John Clayton making him a potential surprise cut, and what that would mean. And even though we didn't think that would happen, now we can go back to that exercise of what do you do? And I don't think, honestly, I think the Texans are going to have to look on the waiver wire. It's going to have to be a priority to find the best waiver wire veteran running back. And there are going to be some. There's always some cap issues, or a team goes younger than a veteran running back. They're going to have to go find somebody, because you can't go with Duke Johnson, who's been a lifelong third down running back. Buddy Howell.
Well, no, Tywan Jones is the second guy he mentions every time.
Okay, Tywan Jones, too.
Tywan Jones.
Although he does have some veteran snaps, but let me see how many carries Tywan Jones has.
But he's been around for a while.
He's been around, but he hasn't been a... I mean,
no,
he
well,
had
he's
some
a go-to
Raiders
back
carries.
Now. I don't know if you heard. He's a go-to back
no,
now.
No, I actually haven't heard
well,
that
you
he's
did.
A go-to back.
Well, you just did.
Who did I hear it from?
From Bill O'Brien. Yeah, he's a go-to guy now because he keeps mentioning.
He's got zero career starts.
It's Duke Johnson, and it's Tywan Jones.
Do you know
in
when the
every
last time,
soundbite.
Do you know when he had the last time he had a carry? He had one for -8 in 2016.
The go-to guy.
He had 16 carries. He has 44 career carries since 2011.
Well, so, okay,
that's not
there's
a go-to
no,
guy.
No, there's no tread off the tire. There is no tread
there's
off
no
that tire.
Tread off the 31-year-old in his ninth season.
Yep.
Dude, you're right. There's no tread off the 31-year-old. He has 44 carries, and he's 31. That's not the go-to guy.
Apparently he is.
Tywan Jones, Buddy Howell. Tywan Jones with 44 career carries. Buddy Howell. Well, let me check out Buddy Howell's carry chart. I mean, ain't going to be a whole lot of those bad boys either. Buddy Howell's career carries. Well, I mean, if you're interested in somebody who has zero career carries, that would be a Buddy Howell, because last year was his first year. Duke Johnson. Let's see what Duke's career carries are, because, you know, like I said, he's been hurt at times, and B, he's been a third down back. So Duke's career carries, He had 40 last year. Which may have been his career high.
He's not a an every down back though.
No, so. He does have 299 career carries.
Yeah,
which is a season for one running back.
Right. So no, the situation is great. It's great. So yeah, we were talking last week about they're possibly going to cut, which I thought was just simply ridiculous that they were going to cut Lamar Miller. You know, when you've got cap space. And you're really as poor as they are at the running back position. There's how do you cut your first guy? As mediocre as Lamar Miller is, and I don't want to say mediocre. He's what, a top 15, 16? Well, I guess that's mediocre.
I mean, he's a mid-level.
He's a mid-level guy.
He's a replaceable starting running
back. He absolutely is. But he was your best. He was your best running back.
Yes.
So you don't cut him when you have. It would have been an unbelievable move had the Texans just to save whatever $5 million in cash that they could have saved. But it just would have shown you that they're not serious. But now it's all moot because he's done. And now you're sitting there with Duke Johnson. You're right. They're going to have to pick somebody up off the waiver wire. They're obviously going to have to wait until he learns the system. There'll be better backs than they have out there on the waiver wire. So you got that.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And otherwise, you're going to have to go with Demaryius Crockett. After Tywan Jones, you're going to have to go with Demaryius Crockett or Caron Higdon or Buddy Howell or whomever. And there's a lot of youth there. And I don't know that those are Higdon, you can probably, and Crockett, you probably can put on the practice squad and nobody's going to touch him. Probably.
I think Crockett's going to make the team. One of those two guys is going to make the team.
Yeah.
The other one could go practice squad. Because running backs are kind of a dime a dozen, so I don't think anyone is going to touch him. But there's an outside chance. I have been, both of those guys have flashes. I mean, both of them will flash. So I kind of like one of those guys making the team. But now you really are in a position where you need to go get a veteran running back. And there will be veteran running backs hit the waiver wire. I know Jay Ajayi is out there, but he's had a degenerative injury issue, which is one of the reasons that a lot of people wondered how long he would last. So I don't know if that's the issue going on right now. You'll find somebody there. I don't know who you're finding on the offensive line. I'm not sure who's going to be out there on the waiver wire, since if you get waived, first of all, offensive lines aren't good in the NFL. It's getting worse and worse. And if you get waived from a team, you're really terrible on the offensive line. Like, you're the worst of the worst. So you're not finding anything great on the waiver wire and offense.
No.
The guy they signed yesterday, Christian Delorio. That's not
because every team is keeping 10. You're going 320
deep.
Yeah,
I mean, if you're a street free agent on the offensive line, you have no chance.
You're 320 deep into offensive line.
That's a rep count. Yeah. And he's there because Steinmetz got hurt in the practice I was at. So that's why they've got the guy Christian Deloria coming in. So, I got to tell you, John, that was, I know you say people will talk about it's just a preseason game, but you do the third preseason game right now looks like the second preseason game with how you're playing guys. And we can get into later about how there's a big belief that next year there will not be four preseason games. But I can tell you this, that was terrible. It was terrible across the board. Deshaun Watson back into a bad habit of hanging on to the ball
ever
and ever and ever.
Yeah, everybody's blaming the offensive line. Deshaun, get rid of the ball.
Both of them in the same drive were on Deshaun.
And some of that is, wide receivers get open.
The dump downs were open, though. The five-yard running back check downs were open.
Yeah. I mean, I could see him wanting to throw the ball down the field. And he bought himself a bunch of time not all that much since he got sacked 62 times. But nobody bought themselves more time than Deshaun Watson last year. So, he's got to make quicker decisions because this is what's going to happen. It looked brutal. Now, it was a series, and Lamar Miller gets hurt, and Nick Martin, good Lord, wow, he had himself a real game. It was the whole thing. It could not have been worse. Does it mean anything? Absolutely not. But it sure doesn't look good. I mean, you couldn't have left that game thinking, whoo. We're a good looking team right now.
Right.
We're ready for that regular season. Let's go, boys. That looked bad.
That looked terrible. It looked terrible across the board. Now, I think JJ looked really good. That's the best. And there's, this is against Lyle Collins. It's against Connor Williams, and it's not Connor doesn't have a great reputation right now, but I mean that's considered a pretty good offensive line. JJ was whipping guys. Here's what he's not doing. He's not going to be an effective rusher off the edge anymore as a defensive end. He doesn't get up the field fast enough over three steps to affect the edge. So tackles know where to meet him, and it's not hard. But off the snap, he's got his arm over working. He's got the quick hands working. Like JJ, I think JJ, the money to be made for JJ is back inside. And he's not going to like that. I think he likes the ability to work outside against tight ends and stuff. But right now, JJ, his hand usage and all that stuff was fantastic the other day. I mean, he really looked sharp. His pass rush, though, is going to be better when he's working from inside. So we'll see how the Texans end up using him. But the secondary, that A.J. Moore was slaughtered left and right. Number 33, the safeties were awful the other night. The cornerbacks were just so-so. But all in all, it was a dreadful, dreadful game for your Houston Texans. It was not good. And but their odds of winning the division just increased slightly because Andrew Luck retired on Saturday, shocking. Or was that Friday? No, Saturday.
Saturday night.
Shocking everybody.
During the game. So and, and those classy fans from Indianapolis.
Boy, could you believe that?
I could not believe that.
I thought they are considered very classy. And their frustration.
They're supposed to be.
They didn't have him in 2017 while they were resting the shoulder. 16, he had to leave because his spleen got chopped in half or whatever. He missed half the season.
I mean,
18, he was great, and now he's retiring. He's retiring after one of his best seasons. Probably his best pure season was last year, and he's retiring. And the fans were so frustrated. They saw him at the game as he's walking off the field. If you haven't seen this, there's footage. Now, there's probably, to be fair, 20,000 or less in the stands, maybe even less. But you could hear the boos. I mean, there were people in that stadium booing. And Jim Irsay responded to it. Chris Ballard responded to it. Andrew Luck said, yeah, that hurt. That hurt me.
As well it should. What a bunch of idiots that you're booing a guy that wants to quit. There was a local sports radio guy here that tweeted this out. Andrew Luck is mentally worn down. Are you kidding me? That's weaker than Antonio Brown's helmet beef. There's a difference between retiring and quitting. What a joke. Well, Rick, did you say that about Jim Brown? Did you say that about Barry Sanders? Did you say that about Chris Borland? This guy had a lacerated spleen.
Did you say about any of the basketball guys when you were working for NBA Network?
Calvin Johnson?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, this dude's life, and if he feels like he doesn't have anything left in the tank, he walks away. Now, you and those Indianapolis fans that are booing.
Well, there's more than, like, he's not the only guy that said that. There's
Doug
a lot
Gottlieb
of,
got after him too.
Yeah, there's a well, lot Doug, of people. Doug Gottlieb is an a-hole sometimes.
But there was a lot
he
of people.
He is a card-carrying a-hole sometimes.
But
he's that, trying to catch, Doug Gottlieb is trying to catch as many likes and
he just wants clicks,
retweets and clicks.
Or negative,
that's all he wants.
But
that's all
I'm
he wants.
Telling you, I saw the quitter angle and all that stuff from way more people than I expected. Now, here's the thing.
Same.
This is
what about Dan
with.
Dockich?
This is.
See what Dan Dockich wrote?
What did he write?
The guy who quit on West Virginia said he talked about Andrew Luck being a quitter. Dan Dockich.
An Indiana guy. He's Indiana sports talk.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that guy's talking about it. I mean, you want to talk about, hey, people, this is his life. If dude doesn't think he can play, if he doesn't have everything that he wants to put into it, are you kidding me? The beating that dude has taken for that city with a crap. You want to talk about, and somebody put this out. This is the Texans. Watch. This is what's going to happen to the Texans with Deshaun because of what they've done to him and how they got him killed early in his career. And you can certainly see it. Now, since Chris Ballard has gotten there, he said, you know what we got to do? We got to protect Andrew Luck. You know what the Texans have not done since Deshaun's got to protect Deshaun Watson? You got to be kidding me that you're going to criticize a guy who is mentally drained from as much beating as he has taken throughout his career because you didn't protect him.
So this is interesting. This is the first time. Well, we'll do this in a second. Here's a guy sent an email to Dan Dockich. I'm looking at his I'm looking. This is going to be an interesting perception. I guess there are some things that Colts fans have dealt with that we know nothing about. And I'm going to bring that up because I don't know any of this stuff. I don't know any of the history of Luck and the Colts. So I'll bring this up, and then we'll talk about whether or not this actually helps the Texans or not, because I'm not sure. I'm not sure it helps the Texans at all. And I think the Texans, you know, I really don't know if they're going to be first or fourth.
I have no idea.
I really have no idea.
I have seen Jacoby Brissett beat the Texans before.
No, I don't think the Colts are going to be as bad off.
No,
as
and I think Jacoby Brissett is better than when he was with the Patriots. A lot better.
I'm going to ask you their win total of the Colts and see what you think.
All right.
There's a new one out.
Champion energy is what I think. I think you want to be a champion. I think that it's been hot. It's been terrible out. I know a lot of you have signed up. I know a lot of you have moved over. But when you're talking about, listen, you have got to get locked in on a price. And then you're going to, and here's the deal, is you go somewhere else. Oh, well, they've got a better rate over there. Guess what? You're paying more because they're going to kill you with all their fees. Champion energy is the best. How long do I have to tell you this? You guys have done all of these different things, and you guys say, wow, I'm getting destroyed. Not if you're with Champion Energy. I've not heard one person ever complain that they signed up with Champion Energy. Not one. So if you're looking for the best way to get the lowest bill every month, 1560energy.com, that's 1560energy.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 719 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776, 720 now here. So anyway, here we are with so we haven't even mentioned, the Astros are just ass kickers, okay? They're one game away from the best record in all of baseball. One game behind the Dodgers. The Yankees take 2 out of 3, which I guess was the... So you're tied with the Yankees for the best record in the American League, and you're one game behind the Dodgers. I guess that was a good result. You know what? I want to be close to the best record. I would rather be close to the best record with a little over a month left, about 5 weeks left of the season. Yeah. And you're one game out of the best record in all of baseball. Because guess what? You are going to have to. You're going to need home field advantage in this deal. You don't play. You didn't play well in Yankee Stadium. You can't expect that you're going to go there and win in Yankee Stadium. It didn't happen last time. You lost all three over there, but you had home field advantage and you took advantage of it in 17. And then you went to LA and you won, but it took a game 7 and it took heroic effort from Charlie Effin Morton. So. You know what, though? It would be much nicer if you got your done for sure in the lineup in 4 of the 7 games. So there's a lot riding on this. Every one of those games that they blow, that Osuna comes in and doesn't close it, that Verlander throws a two-hitter and you don't win, those are all important games. And you're coming down the stretch here playing better baseball right now. How about the 7-run 8th? Any good? Just put it on. That's the Angels. Now, you know, you got a good Tampa team coming in here. This will be a fun week. You got 4 games against Tampa. You're still behind. You got to make up some games. You're still behind the best record, home field record, but you still are 4 games behind what the Yankees have played at home. So you'll catch up there. The Yankees, after getting their ass handed to them by the A's, went to the Dodgers and took care of business. And the A's are still out of the wild card. They're still not in the wild card as well as they've been playing. So Cleveland and Tampa are tough. This is going to be fun this last month of the season. And, you know, as piss poor as the Texans were, then honestly, what did you think on Saturday night when you were watching the Texans?
Well, I mean, I just thought this is a regression. What I saw was, And man, I really hate making grandiose statements based on a third preseason game where the starters didn't even, I mean, I'm not even seeing them in the second quarter. So, well, some of them I'm not. I did see starters on the offensive line like Max Sharping but and Nick Martin. But honestly, what I felt like when I was watching that game was just, all I could think of was, I just don't see this team having the depth and having the chemistry and having the wherewithal to win this division. Well, I just don't. I don't. It felt like it feels like a regression is what it feels like currently.
To me, we know what commitment is. We know what a strategy is. We know that there are teams in this city, two of them, that would go about and do anything to win, and the Texans aren't one of them. We've got the Rockets, who will spend any amount of money and go get any guy, after every guy they possibly can. We see Jeff Luno, who is the best strategist in all of baseball, and he had an idea of how he wanted to go about this thing from the lowest level in the minor leagues all the way through the major league team, and he came up with a championship, and he's got a team that year in and year out is right there competing for a title. And then we got the Texans. That doesn't even have a general manager.
No, so that was the
that
other...
does that makes a stupid trade that gives up too much because they don't know. Are you kidding? Somebody in the football world said to me, "Oh, you know more about a trade than Bill O'Brien does." Yes, Bill O'Brien has made one trade in his life. In his life, he's made one trade, and he was up against John Dorsey, who is an accomplished general manager in the league. Who you got in that one? Who you got? John Dorsey or Bill O'Brien with his first trade?
Yeah. It's obviously John Dorsey, and it was.
And it was value, John Dorsey.
The value is if you just work off of the precedent of previous trades so you understand what the value of that pick is. And the value of that pick is about a fifth-round pick. And the Texans are giving up what is almost guaranteed to be a third-rounder now because he'll play in 10 of the games. So here's one of the things that did come to my mind on Saturday. It's funny you bring that up. All I could think of was that the Texans have never figured it out from the top down, and they've never not for the long haul, and that the Texans are so far behind the better teams. You know, it starts at the top, and I just started thinking, okay, Cal McNair and whatever this thing is at general manager, whatever this is, and all I could think of was it's so because we had a conversation on Saturday night. I was with McCool and LeShane and those guys, and we were just talking a little bit. And it does start at the top. It really does. It starts with the owner,
and it goes
really quickly to either the president or GM, usually. In some cases, the head coach. But any way that you look at it, the Texans are not even remotely close to being anywhere near where the Rockets or Astros are.
No,
they're not even close to having. Okay, this is how you do things. Every team likes to say. This is what the Texans, this is a Texan player. This is the way that we do Texans football or whatever the case may be. You could say it with Rockets and Astros, only it has a meaning. Like when you say this is the Astros way of doing things, I know what that means. If the Rockets way of doing things, that means you're not here for long. Daryl will flip you and he's going to try to put all his chips in with MVP caliber type players because that's his belief in winning. He's got an idea of what, now it may change over time how he does things, but he's got a methodology that's not super hard to figure out. Texans, I have no idea. They can say, this is the Texans way. This is what we consider to be a Texan. I don't know what that means. There is no real philosophy in place.
The only thing that when you say that, the only thing in the history of this that has stayed the same is high character guy. That's the only thing when you say, because it... That as far as, well, we've got a plan, this is our strategy, this is what we look for in play. They're the most reactive. Oh, well, we don't have a left tackle. Well, then we better, we 62 sacks, then we better draft a couple of linemen.
You know what they drafted?
As opposed to having a plan, a long-term plan going forward, where they wouldn't have gotten themselves in that situation. We have zero cornerbacks. Well, we better go grab a couple. Well, let's go get Aaron Colvin. That worked out. Let's tell
the truth about this. Okay, so I actually do think there was a plan in place, and maybe there is now from an evaluation standpoint with Brian Game. We're still going to figure out how his evaluation was, but it's irrelevant because he's not here anymore. So it really doesn't matter what our conclusion is. But with in terms of team build, I'm going to tell you one big flaw that it wouldn't have made fans happy at all. But the right move to make when Brian Gain was on the clock, as soon as Dillard was off the clock, and I'm not sure they ever would have drafted Dillard because I don't think they thought he was mentally very tough. And they're not the only team. There were other teams who had some concern about his mental makeup. But that's secondary. Let's say that they really loved Dillard, and he's off the board. He gets drafted ahead of them. You know what? You know what you do in that spot? You trade back. You don't take a second-round pick in that spot, but you do if you're desperate for left tackle. So they did something that they were desperate for, and it may still work. He's a developmental player, so it may still work. But there is a chance that they could have – the Texans would tell you there was no chance. They know for a fact that another team is going to draft him. I've done a lot of homework on the back end of that draft. I've done a lot of homework, and I do not believe that he would have been drafted. I know the Texans think that. My info and my intel was that he would not have been drafted unless a team traded up into that pick. So, or traded up ahead of the Texans from the second round. I believe the Texans, as soon as that pick is off the board, you say, that's it. We're going back. We're moving back. I also think that Juwan Taylor probably should have been the pick too, and he's a right tackle, not a left. Oh well, go get a good tackle.
A good tackle.
Just
period.
Go get a good
period.
Tackle, or go get a good player.
That's all.
If you don't get a good tackle, and you're going to sit there, draft your best player
board. And every single time we hear, "Oh, we don't draft position, we draft best player available." Bull, you're full of crap. Because you knew you had to have an offensive lineman. I think they just said, well, we did it before with Dwayne Brown. He was, what, the seventh or eighth tackle taken in that draft? And they struck gold with the 23rd or 6th overall pick, whatever Dwayne Brown was. They struck gold with Dwayne Brown. And they said, well, we can do it again. Here's Titus Howard. Well, maybe. Maybe not. We'll see. 729 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. BestHotelRates.com. BestHotelRates.com. What does the name tell you? They're the best hotel rates. This is not even arguable. When your name is besthotelrates.com, that's what you do every day. And like over 600,000 rooms worldwide, not just here in or where in the United States, worldwide. So wherever you're going, go to besthotelrates.com. Get the best hotel rates at besthotelrates.com.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 734 ESPN 97.5. Here is a difficult play. Colts under over 7.5. Who you got?
I think that's over. I think the Colts are still competitive in the division to win the division. Jacoby Brissett is a little better than people think. And here's my thing. You know how they crushed the Texans last year? They ran for like 240 yards in the game. They pummeled them up front. They built their offensive line to dominate up front. They got a running back, Marlon Mack, who when he was healthy was really an effective runner. They've added Devin Funchess. They got Deion Kane, a talented wide receiver, back. They've got T.Y. Hilton still. They've got Eric Ebron, who had a zillion touchdowns last year. Jack Doyle. I mean, they've still got weapons for Jacoby to throw to. They've got a good offensive line, is something that we can't say in Houston.
I think that they're...
And their defense has been built to get much better. I'm telling you, this is how you build a roster and you can withstand Luck being gone. You're not going to be as good. With Luck, you're a Super Bowl contender.
That's what I thought.
Without Luck, I think you're still potentially a division champion contender. The problem is you might be two or three right now, but we'll see how good Brissett plays. We'll
I think that they're going to surprise. They're going to have. I tell you this early in the season, I'm going to take a lot of Colts plus the points because losing Luck with Brissett in there, and then they're going to have to adjust it. That Jacoby's not that bad.
No, and they can win with defense and running the football. I think.
Yes,
that's the problem for Houston.
Maybe some unders and some Colts plus points.
Have you heard? Did you see? I kept searching, couldn't find anything on Zach Fulton. Oh no, I did. Yes, I did. Turf toe. That's right. So Zach Fulton was out when he got rolled up. It was turf toe
sucks.
A turf toe can keep you out for a while.
Yeah.
And if you're a running back, it can be completely debilitating for most of a year. O line, I would expect
honestly,
him to be back quickly.
Okay, right now, would you rather have Zach Fulton at center or Nick Martin?
Oh, Zach Fulton. The offensive line right now should be Zach Fulton, Max Sharping. Well, I guess you're back down to Senio? I can't think. That's
Titus
no
Howard?
Else. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you'd rather get Titus reps.
Yeah.
And he's bigger than Senio. Yeah, Titus Howard. So the two rookies at both guard spot and Zach Fulton at center, I'd rather do that. And I'm going to tell you something
Now.
I know it's unlikely, but you're just giving Nick Martin money right now. You could put Greg Mance in there, and Mance could play center guard, flex.
Mance has been
no problem with it. Mance has been a solid pro.
Okay, will Nick Martin be the starting center all year?
No. History tells us no with injury.
Well, injury. Will he be pulled at any point for the way he's playing?
He either gets cut or he's a starter. And there's a 90% chance that he's a starter. You're not going to be a starter now and then get cut. I don't see that happening with Nick Martin getting cut at the cut deadline. But it's bad. He's playing real upright. Everyone's getting up under his pads.
I could see them benching him and putting Mance in. I could see him benching him.
Yeah.
If his play is so poor,
if you have to bench him, your team. Yeah, if your season's going that sideways,
yeah.
I could see Fulton.
Did you see how he was getting destroyed the other night?
It was bad. Some of it was self-inflicted. He was setting on his pass sets too deep. But then I posted a picture of when he got submarined because he popped straight up and he was run right backwards. And it was a play where Max Sharping's trying to pull to the left, and he just gets knocked. I mean, he gets Sharping gets knocked down because Nick Martin was put on skates, and they just pushed him straight back. I mean, he plays so high. He has no leverage. He doesn't bend. He doesn't have leverage. So guys get up under his pads, and then it turns into a wrestling match where he's just got to kind of grab and hang on. He had two holding calls the other day.
Yeah.
He had two holding calls. You know why? Because he has no leverage anymore, so he's hanging trying to keep guys from pushing him.
He's getting blown up. I don't know if he's, you know better line play than I do with your dad studying it so much, but it seemed like every time he's standing straight up and he's getting just bull rush into. But I felt bad for Joe Webb. Holy crap.
That was a nightmare for Joe.
I mean, that was the hardest. I just said, forget this. And so went over to watch the Astros win again.
Yeah.
And then went and watched Miami and Florida. And I don't know. I tweeted after the game that Florida shouldn't have won, but they did take over top spot as dumbest team in college football. And can you think of on 4th and 22 a pass interference 15 yards down the field? Can there be a dumber play when even if you let him catch it and you tackle him and the game's over and they interfered and then they interfered again?
Yep.
Oh my God. After they throw an interception while they're leading instead of on first down instead of running some clock. I mean, I cannot think of that Florida is the 8th best team in the country. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I know it's the first game, and you don't want to overreact. And Miami's defense is good, man. Miami's defense is real good. They got some athletes.
I'll tell you what, man. There were some fast athletes out there on the field. DJ Dallas looked really, really good. And number seven for Florida was really explosive.
Did Florida, can they tackle? How many tackles did Dallas break?
That was awful. On a regular basis, they were missing tackles. I don't know. Florida still looks like the same kind of undisciplined team to me.
Oh, absolutely.
They got a lot of talent, like Jabari Zuniga. So I pointed him out after his freshman year. I'm looking at players to watch, and I kind of stumbled across him. He flashed on tape. I'm watching during the summer. I had to write this article, number 92, and I was
did
like,
did you
man.
See him fall down at no. the end of the game?
No, Zuniga?
And he was they were going, get down, get down, get down. And he's walking back to the huddle. An injury.
Oh, he got injured?
Injured, yeah. What, he got shot from
That's
the stands.
That's my favorite thing in college football right now is the massive injury, the fall down injury. Like, what? I'm sorry, what's that? Oh, no. Hold on.
Terrible.
Oh, what happened to you?
Terrible.
I got hurt just now.
Yeah.
Where? What is it? It's the sideline. No, on your body. Oh,
No.
Cramp. I think it's my ACL. No, shut up, dude. It's not your ACL.
No.
I mean, it's
a cramp.
I got a foot cramp.
Cramped in my pants.
Cramped in my pants.
Anyway.
How about your boy Fromber? Fromber was, he's like, I don't know where this is going. We'll just see. Nobody knew where it was going for Fromber yesterday. He's like, strikeout or walk? What do you want? Take your pick.
Well, I'll tell you this. After he got out of that bases loaded, nobody out.
Yeah.
He looked, he looked unhittable from that time. When the bases were loaded and nobody out, Fromber just said, watch this. What did he do? Strike out five in the next seven guys?
Fromber was on point.
Fromber was ass kicking yesterday. Mm-hmm. He could be your game two starter.
You know what?
That's what I said.
Hey, was Zach Greinke impressive the other day with his one strikeout and 10 hits?
He was like, hey, how come I can't strike anybody out?
This Zach Greinke thing, I'm like,
well, come on, dude.
Where's all the... remember what Verlander and Cole did?
Yeah.
I thought we were going to do that again. I thought this was like Greinke time. Verlander and Cole, they came in and strike out like 10 per nine innings or 11.
I'm pretty sure Miley's passed him up as third starter.
Zach Greinke
and
just
Fromber
looks
might have passed him yesterday.
Zach Greinke looks like pretty good pitcher.
He's going to be fine, I think. I hope.
I don't see the punch outs. Like, where's the swing and miss? That's bothering me a little because you know that's what they want, and you know that he's had that in the past.
You would hope he starts to strike people out. That'd be great. He even said, I don't know. I don't know why I can't strike anybody out. That's unfortunate for me. 742 ESPN 97.5.
Hey, Zach, can you talk about your strikeouts? I don't know what it is.
I don't know.
What else?
Yeah.
Nothing. Zach's not a chit-chat guy.
No. I think Stromy needs to go visit him like he did Fromber. After I don't know what he did. Did they shake hands at all? Did you see Strom shake hands with Fromber? Left-handed?
Maybe he, like, coughed into his hand or something.
Do you think he coughed into his hand? So coughed up some pint? I mean, he coughed up something that Fromber was able to get a better grip? I don't know what it was, but Fromber sure did look like a different dude when Stromy went out there. 743 ESPN 97.5, 713-780. Come on. You got some thoughts about this weekend? You got any thoughts about Andrew Luck? You got any thoughts about your Texans? You got any thought about your Astros? You're more than welcome to do that. What do you want? 713-780-3776.
For sports is ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
It's not going to be fun to face him because he's good. He's doing some really special things on the mound this year, just how he did with us. And I hope we win the game, and I hope Charlie continues to have a great year.
That's tomorrow night. Verlander Morton. That was Alex Bregman, by the way. Verlander Morton tomorrow night. Cole Yarbrough. Okay. This is, hey, Tampa.
I remember when he
Then you get Greinke. You get Verlander, Cole, and Greinke.
Cole Yarbrough won the Indy 500
It's Garrett Cole versus Tommy Yarbrough or Ryan Yarbrough, whatever his name is.
Oh, that's right.
Okay. So that's what it is. It's not Cole Yarbrough.
There was a Cale Yarbrough.
There was a Cale Yarbrough. I'm pretty sure. I don't know. We'll have to ask.
Cale?
Cale Yarbrough.
Cale, yeah.
Like the...
Do we need to call your boy? No, see, but we can call your boy Trey in here.
Trey, do you want Trey in here?
Would you like Trey? You're a noted.
Is that what you want?
You've battled with Trey for years.
I bet you he will tell you every race Cale Yarbrough ever won.
He probably
Cale
could.
Cale Yarbrough actually won in 19. The last win he had was 1984. Cale finished in second place because there was a wreck on the backside.
Speaking of which,
the backside of what?
You know, that sounds like a certain boxer.
A little. I try to make it quit so I don't go right here with it like this.
But by the way, the Dynamo is being called out right now by a lot of people. Did you see? They lost 5-1 to Dallas.
So apparently, somebody who's a big Dynamo fan who I know said the attendance has really dropped.
Yep.
And that there's a lot of disillusionment. I'm like, really? I said, yeah. And because it wasn't that long ago, the Dynamo had, you know, pretty good fan base that would populate the stands, and they had pretty good, you know, attendance. They said, no, it's pretty sparsely populated right now, the attendance.
Well, what we're I talking to somebody behind the scenes. I don't know any I can't tell you anything about the Dynamo. I just don't know it. But behind the scenes telling me, there's just not a commitment. There's just not a commitment to the city, to the marketing, to the, you know, to making this a Houston, you know, a team that Houston can be proud of. They just are just going through the motions. And apparently, you know, they were with the 5-1 loss to, that's just like embarrassing. I don't know which one was worse, 34-0 or 5-1?
34-0, even in preseason to Dallas, but 5-1's pretty bad in soccer.
5-1 really is 34-0.
Yeah, it's in dog years, yeah. In soccer years.
Yeah, in soccer years it is. So Dallas just, I'm not going to say it. Screw Dallas. It was a preseason game, and it was soccer.
If one goal is probably worth 10 to 11 points in football. So if you score two goals, that's like 21 points, two goals. Three goals, like, wow. It's a 30. You just scored about 30. I feel like anywhere from 9 to 11 per goal is somewhere in the range. So 5 would mean you got beat basically on the conservative end.
Well,
45-7.
Right.
Let's say 45-7.
Right.
Because your goal didn't mean as much. So I'm gonna
that's a 38. Lower it down to 7. That's a 38 point difference as opposed to 34
or 42-7. I'll make it 42-7. So yeah, that's pretty bad. That's pretty bad. I think I figured out a new translation for soccer. You're welcome.
So then
trademark,
you're just going 7-1.
Trademark.
Pardon me?
I'm not doing dog years. You manipulate it based on a formula in my head.
Oh, so it fluctuates?
Yeah. I've got what's considered a proprietary formula in my head that I use that fluctuates. So if you ever need scores, soccer to football or football to soccer, I can give them to you if you need them for a fee. It's going to be on Patreon, and I'll give you guys my Patreon account.
JG, I know you went to Harden's party Friday night. Who'd you enjoy the most, Travis Scott, YG, or Meek? Travis Scott, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, local guy.
Yeah.
So there's that.
So that question's answered now. We got that one down.
Yeah.
Harden gave some kids some bikes. I thought that was pretty cool.
That was cool. He gave like almost $250,000.
James is they got James out there. He's trying to clean up the image a little bit.
Yeah.
There's been a concerted effort this offseason. I don't know who got to him, if it's self-imposed or if somebody got to him and said, hey, dude, you're not as popular as you should be based on your greatness, and you're kind of known as the party guy, and let's a little more philanthropic. And he's done a good job. I mean, he's out there doing that stuff and making a difference for some people, and this is the best. This is the most I've seen him interact with kids. Interact with the public this offseason. He's made.
Well, he's done this before, though.
Even from his camp last year to this year, people were saying it was night and day difference.
Yeah,
compared to how he acted towards everybody at the camp last year.
They say he couldn't have cared less who was at camp last year. This year, he was talking to kids. He had that meeting where he told the one kid, you know, wait until they see I got something coming that they're really going to think is a travel this year. And he talked about his new move because one kid asked, why is that not a travel? Listen,
hey, somebody said it's a fall away one-legged three.
Yeah, that makes me excited.
Hope so.
I bet Mike did. Well,
Greg Schroeder says
we weren't going to see that.
And
shot.
In good news, James Harden's working on a fall away one-legged three. Can't wait for the head shaking this year.
I don't want to see that shot. I don't want the that story. Actually, that's a real thing, by the way.
Yeah,
that's not somebody joking. That's a real thing.
He wants it to be remembered with all the signature moves,
like Dirk's. Like that's kind of a Dirk move, isn't it?
Yeah, but from 30.
Yeah.
Oh, from 30 out.
Please, you've already got a step back three, James. A step back travel. You don't have to add anything. That's already yours. Nobody, you got the Euro step. You got enough. Don't add a fall away one legged three to your arsenal.
No, that's quite enough.
It
you got a lot of moves. James has a tremendous amount of different ways to get open shots. Let's not make it. No, not the flipping the arms up looking for the foul move. That's the, you know what? That's
just throwing the ball at the backboard.
I'd say that's an iconic one too.
It is iconic.
Sometimes it works, though. But James has been much better this offseason at clicking with the kids and trying to be a little more fan-friendly. Because that's one of the weird things, that James has not been fan-friendly at all. And it's weird that he just...
I don't know if it's weird.
He gets a free pass for it. He has for years.
He just is a good basketball player. But again, I don't know that there's a superstar that is as criticized as James Harden.
No, you're right. But when you're an iconic player with iconic talent, more is expected of you. And frankly, especially if you come, there's always been that thought that if you come from difficult upbringings and you rise up and you've had people help you rise up, whoever the people are, your friends, your father, your mother, your neighbor, whatever it is, your coaches, that there's a thought that, you know, it'd be nice if you give back a little bit. And sometimes giving back is just your time, because you have a big impact on kids when you visit with them and talk to them. Sometimes it can be financially. And he's doing more of that this offseason. So that's good. And maybe that's James just growing up a little bit and realizing that people aren't out to get him or aren't against him. People want to be on his side. We come back. We're going to get more into the Texans. For those who don't know, Lamar Miller is officially out for the year with an ACL tear. So we'll get into some of the ramifications of what the roster may look like. But I also want to talk about Alex Bregman. Bregman, when you look at Bregman, what he's done, every year has gotten better. Every year he's gotten better. And it's really time to just admit that Alex Bregman is probably the best baseball player on this team. Right now in year four, I don't think you can say anyone else is a better baseball player than Alex Bregman.
You may be right. 757 ESPN 97.5 713-780-3776.
Tell her, hey, what's good? Sorry, I'm never coming home. I'ma stay for good. They hang the phone up and proceed to lay the wood. I came fast like 911 in white neighborhoods.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.